In Acts chapter 6, they came into a situation. Of course, Jesus had established a church during his ministry. He had called out those who were believers and they were baptized. They became part of the church. And then there reached a time after the resurrection and the ascension that the apostles were in charge. They were leading the church and the churches. And there came a time when there were some who said, look, we feel like we're not getting all that we need to out of the church. And that's in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, the number of disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring. Now, they couldn't have been Baptists, could they? Of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. In other words, they felt like they were not getting the same treatment as others in the church. And they weren't, you know, they weren't receiving the same ministry. And the 12, verse 2, called the multitude of disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. That's what we look for. Guys, the role of a deacon is what we normally would appoint an associate pastor today. In the beginning, in the scripture, that was a deacon. A deacon is a servant, a minister. That's what a deacon is. And so what was the role of a deacon? The role of a deacon, first of all, was to have integrity. Amen? To be a man of God. To have an honest report. To have people that speak well of them and have high regard for them. He has to have the reputation for being honest. Number two, he needs to be full of the Holy Ghost. He needs to have the presence of God in his life and on his life so that when we see our deacons, we see our Father through them. We see the Holy Spirit of God through them. That's what we want to see in our deacons. Of course, you say, well, Pastor, don't we want to see that in everybody? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But we especially need to see our deacons. And then wisdom. And wisdom, that's so important. I look back at a time when I was ordained as a minister at the age of 19. How wise I was. How wise I was. Now, of course, you know, I had the right heart, had the right mentality at that point for ministry and had the calling of God in my life, but there's no way, you know, my wisdom at 19 would compare to what I have now. I mean, if it did, I'd be in trouble. But, you know, that's the wisdom. So I look to these, our deacons, and we've got wisdom in our council. We do. We have wisdom in our deacons. And he said, appoint them over this business. And that's what it is that we want to do tonight. In verse 5, he said that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Okay? Boy, that's important. I want you to know that as the deacons of the church, you know, a lot of times we say, well, they're in charge of the business of the church. Yeah, and you know what our business is? Ministry. Our business is ministry. And so you got to be full of faith, got to rely on God, got to trust in God, got to believe in God. And I know from my experience in your lives, in your testimonies, that you are men who are full of faith. And then he says, and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, they set them before the apostles. They prayed. They laid their hands on them. And then what happened after these deacons were appointed? It says the word of God increased in verse 7. Things changed. Things got better. The ministry, look, you look at what they were complaining about. They said, y'all have church. There are people who can't get to the church building. Now, of course, you know, those are houses at that time. They met in people's houses. They met by the river or at the park or wherever they could. They didn't have buildings and land like we do today. And so they were not able to make it to those services. And so the deacons they needed somebody from the church to bring it to them, to bring them ministering. And what if they needed something? What if they needed groceries or needed fuel or whatever it might have been? Somebody from the church, you know, and our church is so good about that. And I hope that you don't think that that's the role only of the deacons. It's the role of the whole church. But somebody needs to, you know, make sure that it's being done, and our deacons make sure that no one slips through the cracks. That's the role of a deacon. Disciples multiplied, didn't just increase, it multiplied. Why? Because when we take ministry outside these walls, we can make a difference. If are satisfied ministering only to those who come in those doors and sit in those pews, we're going to just atrophy away. It'll eventually die off. I am not interested in managing decline. I'm not. I'll be here as long as God wants me here, but I am not interested in managing decline. Not anywhere, not any business, not any church. I want to be growing. I want to be moving. I don't want to just be holding on until, you know, and I've seen pastors that'll do that. I know it's about deacons tonight, but I've seen pastors that will drain the church of all the funds, and once all the money's gone, then they disappear. And I tell you what, I'd name names, but y'all wouldn't know them anyway. But anyway, and it's tragic. And people like that, number one, their name ought to be published all over the place, and they never, should never be allowed in ministry again. But I've seen it happen, and I have one in mind, and he just said, oh, you know, we just don't. I said, I stood up at a meeting and told him I knew why it was the way it was, because they don't do ministry. You don't minister. And so we have to minister. That's what our calling is. If we're going to increase the work, if we're going to increase the number of disciples, and here he didn't say increase, he said multiply, we've got to take the ministry outside these walls. And I appreciate our online ministry, the way that we can reach out. And I remember in the early days, and we wanted to do that, and man, we never had any idea we'd be where we are today. But we could do more. And that is not a substitute, not a replacement for taking the ministry outside these walls. We still have to get out there and reach the people. 1 Timothy chapter 3, is that where you are? Specifically, the Bible says the deacons must be grave. You have to be balanced. You have to be wise. You have to be unshaken. You know, that's the term. We look at somebody who has the term gravitas, right? Remember that term? That doesn't get used as much today. But you have to be able to come to you with something and not see the look on your face when you go, oh no. You're supposed to at least cover that look inside. Grave. He goes on and he says, not double-tongued. You know, speak the truth. Here's the thing. If you can't say something honestly, then just don't say anything. You're not allowed to say, I really can't talk about that. I don't talk about that. I can't speak to that right now. But don't be double-tongued. Don't be double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Now, I don't think that we have problems with our deacons in the category of wine, but I did notice that with the bishops, he said not given to wine. And then he gave the deacons a little bit of edge there. He said, not much. But, of course, you know, and in our church covenant, we say we won't take intoxicating beverages or the sale or the use of intoxicating beverages. But for our deacons especially, he says, not much wine. And then not greedy of filthy lucre. Guys, there's not a problem. And I look at your lives and your examples. Not greedy of filthy lucre. And I say that we have some of the most generous deacons I've ever met. Generous with their money, generous with their time, generous with their heart, generous with their prayers, just generous, just giving, kind, and not greedy at all. Verse 9, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience. This is important. Guys, this is probably the most important one. That you believe the Bible. That you believe what it teaches. Not having any question, any doubt. Well, you know, I'm not really sure if I buy into all that. Then you can't be a deacon. That's it. I mean, we've come across and talked about it recently of pastors that suddenly say, well, I just don't believe that part of the Bible. Well, if there's any part of this you don't believe, back out now. You've got to believe it all. Hold the mystery of God, mystery of faith in pure conscience. You've got to believe it. Verse 10, and let these also first be proved. And I think by the evidence of the church, you know, normally when it comes to ordination, we set someone aside. Say we're going to keep an eye on them and make sure they live up to it. Of course, we've chosen deacons that have lived up to it and have a reputation and a testimony and evidence, proof of these things that we have qualified them for. And then it says, let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now, Sister Sonia, this part's for you. Verse 11. Even so must their wives be brave. Again, gravitas, balanced. Not slanderers. Sober. Faithful in all things. Amen. And the wives are included in that. And I'm confident, even, you know, as not having met, I'm confident she met that. And let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. That they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy in an effort to establish some organization in the church, some leadership in the church. I've often said that in our church, our desire is not to develop followers, but leaders. Our desire is for each one of us to be capable of leading someone to the Lord, capable of leading someone in the faith. And the faith, that's more than just salvation. That's every step all the way along the way. And I believe that we have that, especially and particularly in these two that we have chosen. Now, let me ask y'all some questions. I can ask them where you are. Someone get saved. You want me to answer it? How does someone get saved? Brother Andy. Amen. Elijah, come here a second. Go give that to Brother Andy, please. We've got some online. We don't want them to miss out, do we? Yeah, that's for Sister Sonia. So he answered that correctly, how someone does get saved. Would you say that a church is a called out assembly of believers who are baptized and committed to the carrying forth of the commission of Christ?
Amen.
Would you? All right. How does someone become a member of the church?
Get saved, baptized, and ask for membership.
All right, there you go. Got saved, got baptized, and asked to join church and unite with the church. Good. It's a test, isn't it? My goodness. There are two ordinances of the church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Do you know of any others? Nah. Those are the two ordinances. And the elements of the Lord's Supper being, we use grape juice, but the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. Okay? That's the way you order a Lord's Supper. And we practice closed communion, understanding that closed means the members of the church. Okay? Now, somebody asked me about that not long ago, and that is what we practice. In fact, I sat down with a preacher, and hey, guys, this is a subject that comes up a lot. So as deacons, you either believe it or you don't. Now, transubstantiation is a big word, and it means that when you take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the juice becomes the body and blood of Jesus in your mouth. You don't believe that, do you?
No.
You don't believe that. Okay. It represents the blood and the body of Christ. It does not become His blood and His body. What does baptism represent?
Washing away our old sins and starting new.
Okay, washing away the old life and risen to walk in newness of life, Brother Andy?
Amen.
Okay. Would you also say the death, burial,
yeah.
And death, resurrection?
Burial, and resurrection.
All right. Okay? There are three things required for baptism.
Being saved.
Okay, a proper candidate.
Mm-hmm. Approved by the church.
Okay, church authority. And enough water. That's it. That's what you need, right, Brother Jimmy? You got to have enough water. All right, by the way, I've come short a few times.
Like the Ethiopian eunuch.
That's right. That's right.
You're sufficient water.
That's enough water. Does a person need to be baptized to go to heaven?
No.
No. All right. Thank you. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?
Yes.
From cover to cover.
Okay, so all of it. That was a follow-up question. There are two places we go when we die. One or the other. Which are they?
Heaven or hell.
Amen.
Heaven or hell. What form of government do Baptists use? Got you on that one, didn't I? Who's in charge here? Who's in charge of the church?
The people.
Okay, congregation. We use a congregational government. So the pastor is not in charge. The church makes decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's a church government.
But we sure put a lot on you, don't we?
But on top of that, and I know that you know this, we're independent. We are an independent church. That means that we can do anything we want tonight except fire the preacher. Right? But as a congregational church, we are autonomous. You know, we participate with other churches and missions and all that kind of stuff, but this church makes the decisions of what we're going to do. What must one do to go to hell?
Nothing.
Nothing. Who's the head of the church?
Jesus Christ.
All right, both of you said the same answer. Jesus is the head of the church. You believe that a deacon is to serve the church?
Yes.
Yes.
Not in charge of the church, he's to serve the church. You understand the same is true of the pastor. Serve the church. There are two biblical offices of the church. What are they?
The pastor and the deacons.
Okay, bishop and the deacon, pastor and the deacon. Do you believe in church discipline?
Yes.
What is the only form of church discipline?
Kicking them out.
Okay. In Pahokee terms, they kick them out. All right. Exclusion. You're either a member or you're not. And you know, if we could not recommend you to another church, then it is our responsibility to remove you from the church. Do you believe the Genesis account of creation?
Yes.
Believe in the virgin birth of Jesus?
Yes.
The literal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus?
Yes.
You believe that story about Jonah was true?
Yes.
Amen.
The parting of the Red Sea and the Jordan River, you believe that's literal?
Literal.
Believe yes. Hell are literal places?
Literal.
Yes.
Do you believe that the Bible teaches of a rapture when Jesus when the believers will ascend to heaven to be with Jesus?
Yes.
Amen.
Does church have any questions for our...
Looking forward to that day.
Amen. The church have any questions for our deacons, candidates? Any questions? If not, a motion would be in order to move forward the ordination. Okay. Second. All in favor, raise your hand. Hands down. Any opposed? All right. I'm going to ask you two fellas to come up here. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the men if you will. If you want to, you don't have to. But just, yeah, right there. Right in front.
Are they who we go to borrow money?
Yes, absolutely. That's it.
Like Brother Derek said, I can't loan it to you. I can give it to you.
If you'd like to come pray for these guys, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come on up. We'll form a line, and we'll say a prayer for them.